Okay, so before we do the Rambam and the Ramban, I'm sorry, Shimon, I want to quickly look at the Ran.
No, I'm just saying, I just feel cheated out here because you didn't tell us.
No, remember I told you, look at the Ran, if you have time.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to run through because the Ran does have a little bit of an interesting, a different perspective. Okay, so I'm just going to quickly. Right, first he quotes Rashi, his position, which we did yesterday. So then he asks the same question as Tosfos, right? He says, even if Rabbi Pedas thinks that it's not us or me, the Oraisa, to do anything which is an actual intercourse, again, what's Tosfos' question that starts this whole discussion? How do we know that just because it's not us, me, the Oraisa,
it's not allowed?
That is not, no, that it is allowed.
That is allowed, right?
I mean, that, why is that our two options?
Well, so, yeah, why isn't there a middle beast?
Correct. So therefore he suggests, Lefichach, Nirin lihad dvarim kipashtan. I think you have to understand this as kipashtan, right? As it is explicitly. Ki beinan lemifshat mehekeshat eishas re'ehu, heve svirulon de beishas re'ehu hu bevigda vehi bevigda aser midda araisa. Velo mishum yichot, much go to Rashi zal. Said, Rashi suggests that the reason that it's usher to sleep in the same bed as someone else's wife is only because of yichud. Right? The Ran says that's not what the Gemara seems to be saying. Right? The Gemara seems to be saying that it's usher because of lo tikruvu legalo revra. Meaning, it's not that, oh, if they're sleeping in the same bed, probably they're alone, so memela the usher is yichud. Right?
It's no.
Right? Rather, it seems like what the Gemara is saying is that according to the Tanakhama, sleeping in the same bed, even if it weren't because of Yichud, would be Asur Midaraisa. Right? That's the implication.
Yeah.
Correct?
The people who is lying with them.
Right?
According to the Ran.
Well, that we noted. That's the simplest implication of the Gemara. Right? So, Ela Afila below Yichud. Would like a Chashash to be on. But now the Ran adds, and he says, wait a second. Right? This is something that wasn't spelled out by Tosfos. The Ran says it's not just that the implication of the simple implication of the Gemara is that when somebody sleeps in a bed with someone else's wife, it's aser. Midaraisa, according to the Tanakhama, right? Again, that was the simplest shot. The implication is what? Right? He says, since the Gemara doesn't bring up Yichud, the implication is that it would be aser midaraisa to sleep in a bed with someone else's wife, even if there was no chashash bia, meaning there was no concern they would sleep together, because it was Pesach Masu'ah L'Shus HaRabim, meaning they could be in a bed together in the middle of Times Square.
Weird.
Right? Right?
Or in the mattress store and you're both trying to see if it's a good mattress.
Fine, or whatever. Or you're in bed. No, or they're in bed, but they didn't close the door to their room and there are kids walking in and out. Right? To bring a case that might actually happen. Right?
No, the mattress store wasn't convenient, wasn't the...
Yeah, well, no, remember the... fine. So, he says, also, right, the Pshitalon Hachi, Misvara Meches Re'eshar, Afilu Kola Erva. Now, the Ran here throws in something which is a bit strange, is he says, that's obvious, because even her voice is usher. Right? Which implies, as the footnote here notes, that according to the Ran, and this is something we can't get into, that according to the Ran, even Kalisha is not just usher, but usher biblically, which is quite a radical position. Right? It's not a majority position found in Poskim, but the Ran does seem to say, and it is found explicitly in certain Achronim. They gave a whole nice list of it here in the footnotes, which I then looked up all the references to make sure they were all right. Because, as I've told you before, never trust anybody. They are right. But don't trust me. Look them up yourself. The Sukkah of Asher Shanem, and he says, what would the logic be? How did I derive from the Gemara that the simple pshat is that sleeping in a bed, even with clothes, with someone else's wife, even without a concern of Bia, right? I mean, even if there's no concern that they're going to sleep together, it'd be Asher Midaraisa. Where did he get that notion? Again, this is what he adds that Tosfos doesn't, right? Where does he get that notion? Because the Gemara compares Eishes Re'ehu to your wife as a Nida. And your wife is a nida. This is a total normal circumstance.
Who is
he seeing? Reu, the wife of your friend.
Oh.
Right, and he's saying, look, if the Gemara equates your wife, someone else's wife, with Isha Nida, right? He said this is a totally fathomable case, right? You come up with a weird case of going to a mattress store, right? Except, but no, I understand. But when it's coming to your wife as a Nida, there's an easy case, right? The Gemara is saying, right? Even if a husband and wife would sleep in the same bed, even with the door open, right, such that the kids could walk in and out, which, right, it's still usher. Why?
Because
it's still intimate.
Right.
Right? Meaning, it may not be... Look, it may be that if you leave your bedroom door wide open and you know that the kids are going to walk in and out, right, that removes all concern that the husband and wife are going to be intimate. Right? One second. We still say it's usher because everybody... I hope everybody understands that sleeping in the same bed as your wife, even with clothes, even with your kids, walking in and out, even if there's no concern that right now you're going to have intercourse, is intimate. I hope you understand that. Right? I hope you understand. Right? There are different levels of intimacy, kamufan. Right? Obviously, right? It's not as intimate as actual intercourse. It's not as intimate as sleeping in the same bed without clothes. Right? With the door closed. Right, but it's intimate.
He sounds like the Tanakhama right now.
That's what he's explaining.
Oh.
He's saying the simple implication of the Tanakhama is that it would be awesome to sleep in a bed, even with clothes, with someone else's wife, even in no concern for Bia, right? Even in a case where the door is open and you know they're not going to sleep together, because the intimacy itself is the issue.
It's an intimate thing. He
doesn't follow what she knows. Correct. And that's what the Gemara weighs in and says. The fact that is what Rabbi Pidas doesn't accept. Because he says the only thing that's biblically asur is actual intercourse. Right, so again, he goes in a similar direction as Rashi and Tosfos, right? Meaning he's playing the same problem. But the extent to which he plays it out is, right, is different, right? His implication is that in Hachinami, again, what comes out, according to Rabbi Pidas, he thinks that really, 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 Midah Raisa, the only thing that's asur is
relationships,
right? A physical intercourse, right? Actual intercourse. But again, according to him, now we come back to Rashi and Tosfos. Are there things, according to the Chachamim, that are usher under lo tikru lo galu to her father, not intercourse? Midah Raisa?
Yes.
For him, what is it?
It's even sleeping in the same bed.
Correct. Okay, fine. Now, he says la halacha, but now he has one more point, and he says, okay. And from this, we'll get to the Rambam. From this Gemara, what do you think the maskana is? Do we paskin like Rabbi Pidas, or do we not paskin like Rabbi Pidas?
We do not.
You vote not. Donnie, what do you vote?
Also not.
Like Yosef, what do you vote?
So many people are arguing Rabbi Pidas, we must follow Rabbi Pidas. I feel like we do follow Rabbi Pidas.
Okay, what do you think, Shimon? What do you guess?
Who do you follow by?
I don't like that.
Okay, good. Who does the Rambam clearly paskin like then? Who does the Rambam clearly paskin like?
The Rambam says not that it's only Bia that's your Raisa.
No! Rambam, Maimonides.
Oh, fine. That's only that other things are different.
Therefore, who must he paskin like?
The Tanakhama.
And that's what the Ran says. And he says, Ulainyan halacha. He said, right, if our analysis is correct, namely that according to Rabbi Pidas, it's impossible that anything
else is
which is not actual intercourse is asur midah raisa. So the Gemara seems to present that as an outlier, because the Gemara presented as a given that there should be a problem with sleeping in the same bed as somebody else's wife. It must be that we accept the possibility that lo tikru lo galu erva includes other things biblically. And therefore we don't paskin like Rabbi Pidas. And therefore he says, v'chein pasak harambam zal. And that is the basis for the Rambam. Now that's only true according to who? Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, the Ran. But according to Tosfos,
it's Rabbi Pidas.
According to Tosfos, you can't prove anything. Why?
Because it's only the...
Because neither Shita holds that anything is Midah Araisa. Right? The question is only what's Asur Midah Rabbanan.
Oh, yeah.
Right, remember, right, Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, right, everyone agrees, remember Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, and the final day in Shabbos seems to say that what? Nobody thinks that Lo Tikru L'Gal Arva includes anything besides for intercourse on a biblical level. The only question is, what can we include rabbinically?
Arguing is whether there's whether in sleeping in the same bed clothes.
That's my point. But according to Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, nobody holds that it's biblically prohibited.
But people do.
No, according to Tosfos, nobody does.
Yeah, according to Tosfos,
nobody does. Right, Pidas and the Tanakhama, no one's arguing on a biblical level. The only question is what are the exact implications of the biblical level, such that when we model the Derabbanan, right, is it a regular Derabbanan? Is it Rabbanan with an Asmachta? Right, but no one holds there's any biblical answer outside of intercourse. Right, that's Tosfos and Avodah Zarah.
Okay,
right.
So get a resolution.
You said there's
no
different kind of.
We didn't figure out. We didn't see that was.
Of course, we did. Because that was exactly what everyone was trying to figure out. The Gemara, right? Rashi, Tosva, Rabbeinu Tam. No, they all said, "What do you mean? There's no middle ground." There is a middle ground. The Gemara assumes that Rabbi Pidas agrees that this is Asur Midah Rabbanan. Possibly, it's just that the exact parameters of what Rabbi Pidas thinks is Asur. Right, depends on his Daraisa Shita.
Well, no, Pidat knows that.
Rebbe Pidat, he has smicha. He's not Pidat, right? Yes.
Rebbe Pidat, did I say it wrong?
You keep saying Pidat. He's not Rebbe Pidat.
I'm trying not to say Pidas. It's great.
You can say Pidas like an Ashkenazi, that's fine.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
It'll get ingrained into me, you know?
I don't care if you say Pidat or Pidas. I care that you give him smicha, which is what he deserves. Right? If I have to have smicha, then one of the members of Chazal, right, yes, who is given smicha, gets rabbi.
They don't
right?
know how I call you up Moreno Virabeno every time.
If I get Moreno Virabeno, then Rebbe Pidat, as a member of Chazal, at least gets Rebbe. Look, there's a joke that one of the Rosh Hashiva and Gush once did in Shirklali. He notes, right, it's one of those things, that the later somebody is, the more titles they get before their name, right? So he once was giving a Shirklali from a piece in the Maral Diskin, I think. No, it was a Shar Melech quoting a Maral Diskin, and there were literally two lines of titles in Rosh Tevot. It was Moreinu, Rabbeinu, Harav, Hagon, Nasi Yisrael, blah, blah, blah. Chuso, Yogin, Aleinu, L'chayel, Olam, Haba, Amen, Amen. Right, it goes on forever.
That's what he wants.
Rebbetzin,
Johnson. And then, like 5 minutes later, he was quoting a pasuk in the Torah, and he was like, Moshe Rabbeinu, Harav, Hagon, Tzadik, lo chashuv. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, right, we don't give any titles. It's only like 20th century rabbi. Suddenly, we have to give them titles. We have to compensate for the fact that, okay, they're dinner.
Yeah,
right? When you give me a lot of titles, it's usually not a sign of respect. It's like we're compensating for the fact that, like, you know. Anyway,
my point was that Rabbi Pidat will say that Lo Tikru is deraita. Is it?
Only, no, Rabbi Pidat says only sex is deraita.
Right. Lo Tikru in the sense that
it's a pasuk. Obviously, Darais. The question was, exactly. What does it mean?
But you said,
so why did you say they're a banan when you?
No, all the other things that are not intercourse.
That could be intimate.
Come on, come on.
Things that could be intimate, he says, that are derabanan.
Correct. So Tosfos therefore doesn't. Right. Tosfos assumes that no, there is a middle ground. Meaning, yes, Rabbi Pidas will think that certain things are derabanan.
Well, you said,
right. It's just that, even though that's not the implication of the Gemara, it's because that's not the question the Gemara is asking. It's asking about, is his Derabbanan derived from the Pasuk as an Asmachta or something like that, right?
Yes, you said there's plenty more. You didn't imply what kind of derais is biblical. You said there's a bit.
What you just said was tautological. What types of deraises there are biblically? What do you
no?
What?
I mean, not like that. I mean, you said what do you mean by a derais? That you said that
deraisa means a biblical law.
Yeah, I know. But you were saying that it doesn't go into it more before. About the when you said Rav Pidat about the races.
What?
You said Rav Pidat did you say that
Rav Pidat says the only thing that's also made the raisa is intercourse.
Yes.
Right? Tosfos and Rashi end up saying it's not that the Gemara is saying, oh yeah, if he doesn't hold this derais, it must be mutter.
Okay.
It's just that the Gemara's question is assuming that the type of derabanan you're going to institute will depend on the type of derais that you hold. And since Rabbi Vidas has a very limited understanding of what's biblically prohibited, namely only intercourse, so what he holds will be derabanan, or will also be limited. But they accept the possibility that things will be derabanan, right? Natosos in Avodah Zarah says that's what everyone thinks. Meaning, nobody thinks that anything short of intercourse is biblically prohibited. It's just that Rabbi Pedaz and the Chachamim, they have an argument like in the margins of how exactly does the drasha work and what does that reflect the Drabanan.
What exactly falls under Pia? Okay.
It's very much like Rabbeinu Tam.
For Drabanan purposes. Okay. What?
It's like very much like Rabbeinu Tam now.
No, not Rabbeinu Tam.
No, meaning
not,
like,
not Rabbeinu Tam. This is the sheet that argues in Rabbeinu Tam. So no, not like Rabbeinu Tam.
No, because what you said
not like. No, not.
Wait,
but...
No.
No. Okay. This is the shita that argues on Rabbeinu Tam.
Okay, fine.
Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, even certain things according to Rabbi Daz will be included, right, possibly, biblically, right, according to the Chachamim. Right, according to the Tosfos of Avodah Zarah, it's not true. Even the Chachamim don't think, even the Tanakhama doesn't think that anything is Daraisa. It's just a question of not of what is included in the drasha, but how does the words technically work. It's a very technical... Yeah. It's not Rabbeinu Tam, it's the opposite, actually.
No, I only found it similar because of the... Because you went on the idea that he's... Rabbeinu Tam is limited, while Tanakhama is so expensive.
That everyone agrees to. That's the Gemara. That's not Rabbeinu Tam, that's the Gemara. That's the Gemara.
Explain it during Rabbeinu Tam's commentary. So
yes, because every single Rishon, right, takes some version of that because it's the Gemara. Okay. So now, with that background, so lehalacha, so what do we say? So, if you accept that the simple implication of the Gemara is against Rabbi Pedas, so that means we possibly the Tanakhama. So according to Tosfos, is anything in Avodah Zarah, is anything outside of sex, us or biblically?
No.
Yes.
No. Because Tosfos in Avodah Zarah thinks that everybody agrees that to only... fundamentally to Rabbi Pedas.
No, but we said...
That only intercourse is also midaraisa.
Yeah, but we said itself, be itself is derived.
I said anything besides or...
Yes. Right. Yes.
No.
Right. No, you...
My question was, according to Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, if we paskin not like Rabbi Pedas, is anything short of sex, us or biblically?
No.
Correct. According to Rashi and Tosfos, and the Ran.
Yes.
If we pass like the Tanakhama, is there anything which is not sex itself, which is biblically prohibited?
Yes.
Yes. Right? This is the machlokes.
How much?
Interesting question. Right? And this is the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban.
So basically, Tosfos if he read us like the Ramban, right?
For sure, according to Rabbi Pedas, but according to Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, there is no other opinion.
According to Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, there's not even this Rambam and Ramban argument shouldn't even exist.
Exactly, and that's going to be, and that's my point, is that if you want to understand the Ramban,
right?
I mean, that's exactly the point. The Ramban who says, no one ever thought this,
right?
Assume that probably, fundamentally, everyone agreed with Rabbi Pedas. The only question was the technicality of drasha. Good. The Rambam, therefore, following the Ran, right? That's not chronological, but the way the Ran points out, takes the analysis like Rashi, like Rabbeinu Tam, that the argument between Rabbi Pedas and the Tanakhama is, can anything short of intercourse itself be biblically prohibited? We paskin against Rabbi Pedas, and if we paskin against Rabbi Pedas, the answer is... Yes.
There are things short of it.
Correct. And that's the Rambam. And the Rambam says, what is it? So, remember, Rashi and Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, both try to figure out, okay, so what is it, according to the Tanakhama, that's going to be Asher Midaraisa? But the Rambam has an answer. The Rambam says, well, if we hold that there are things which are not intercourse, which are biblically prohibited, what must they be? Right? What logically makes the most sense?
Things that would lead to...
Good. So, but how far do we take it? Right, things that lead to intercourse. Great, how far? How far do we extend it?
It said, like, even hugging and kissing.
Good, so good. So give me a formulation. Why hugging and kissing?
Well, that might lead to it.
So what does he say? Let's read the Rambam carefully.
The word he uses is
mipi'ulot hasnut. Good. So the Rambam is a very... If I had asked you before you read the Rambam, misvara.
Yeah.
And logically, assuming there were things included in the Isser that were not intercourse itself, What types of things would you put in it?
Probably like for modern times, you're saying?
I asked you. What would your criteria be?
Sleeping clothes.
No. Don't give me an example. Sexual. Give me a criteria. Good. Right. Shimon's is
sexual touching.
Yeah. Right. That is, if I had to pick something that's as close to intercourse as possible, but it's not actually intercourse, I would have said
sexual.
I would have said sexual touching. Sexual touching, and that's what the Rambam says. Right. He says. You can't come. Now, why would you say that? Because watch the word in the pasuk. The word in the pasuk that drives the prohibition, according to the Rambam.
Lying with her?
No. Tikrivu. Remember? That was what the Gemara. Coming close.
I thought tikrivu meant lying.
No! Karov!
Okay.
Right, karov means to be close. Meaning Rabbi Pedas thinks close is only really close.
Yeah.
Right? Really close. Like inside close. Right?
Yeah.
And the Rambam will say, well, if we paskin like the Tanakhama, that means what's the subject of the machlokes? The subject of machlokes is one word. How close is close?
Right.
Rabbi Pedas thinks only sex.
Is close.
Is close enough.
And everyone else,
and everyone else enough. Say, well, what comes close to close, right? What comes close to being that close, right? And he says, it's kigon chibuk v'nishuk v'domeh lohem mipa'olot hasnut. It's kissing and hugging. Now, if you just read this line in the Rambam, and you had to guess, what type of hugging and kissing does he mean?
In a sexual way.
Correct.
You know?
Right? If I just read the Rambam, and this is, again, how many poskim will take it, it doesn't mean hugging and kissing per se.
Right.
Right? Meaning, right, your grandmother gives you a kiss on the head, right? Oh, bubile.
If you're
right?
Kissing your grandmother in that way.
Yeah, don't do that.
You got monotheists.
Right? Meaning, it's not kissing per se. He's saying, it's mi pi'ulot haznut.
Right. But if you're
so,
like,
sleeping together naked in the same bed.
That's a...
Yes. Yeah. Right, that's what the Gemara says. That, like, right, without clothes. Talking, right?
Is grandmother even one of the categories which you shouldn't be near?
And she is one of the Araya. Yeah.
Rabbinically, I think, right?
What's your point?
Are we doing the Rabbanan?
I will get to the halacha, but I'm saying. Okay, I'm just giving you an example. Okay? Fine.
Wait, so I guess.
And then he says, one second. And then let's read the Rambam carefully and let's see, right? I want you to see how he got it from the Gemara. Right? Because he said, if you pass on the Tanakhama, the Isser hangs on one word, which is how close is close. What does it mean to become close? And that's what he says. Vuhu amru yitaleba hazara mizeh. The pasuk says, "Ish, please look inside. Ish, al kol b'sher b'sero lo tikrivu legalot erva keilu yomar." It's as if the pasuk said again. He's telling you, this is not Rabbi Pedat. If you don't agree with Rabbi Pedat, and you don't think that the word kiruv basar means only intercourse, then it must be that it's as if it says lo tikrivu mehen. Kiruv yavi legalot erva. Don't come close in such a way that it would bring you to actual sex. V'loshon sifra lo tikrivu legalot ein le'el shelo yigaleh. And the sifra is even more explicit. You might have thought that the only thing that's usher is what's migaleh. Yeah, migaleh. Minayin shelo yikrav. Meaning, what's the sifra saying? I want you to be medayik. I know you read this inside, but good, be medayik. According to the Sifra, what is the machlokas, Rabbi Pedas and the Tanakhama?
So literally the reading of the what is
how? Tell me how Rabbi Pedas reads it, and tell me how the Tanakhama reads it.
Rabbi Pedas takes it seriously.
Takes it seriously. Come on.
Meaning,
Tanakhama
reads it. It's
for
the sake of only relations. And only relations.
No, tell me how he reads the pasuk, lo tikrivu, ligalot erva.
Well, how it takes Tanakhama. Close means that it's already too close for comfort.
Tanakhama reads it in a
so
way.
First time Harry Pedas reads it.
Oh, fine. So Rabbi Pedas reads it as that Lotikravu is mamash, don't.
Good, so how does he read the pasuk?
Sex. Lotikravu legalos erva, don't have sex.
So, or let's be more careful.
So he reads it literally?
Lotikravu legalot. He reads as don't come close by having sex. Lo tikrivu Ligalot. Meaning, don't come close. What does it mean to become close? Ligalot erva. And how does the Sifra read it according to Tanakhama? Lo tikrivu. Don't come close.
For,
not by.
But.
But such that it would lead ligalot erva, right? Meaning that's the question: is how do you read the connection between the words tikravu ligalot? According to Rabbi Pidas, it's a colon, right? It's definitional. Lo tikravu. What does it mean? Ligalot, right? Meaning don't come close by having sex. According to the Chachamim, it means lo tikravu. Don't come close. Ligalot, such that you would come to reveal erva, right? It's that's what he, and you look at the Sifra, that's what he's saying. Shelo yigale minayin krav tamud lomar. V'lishab b'niyatu v'adah lo tikrav. And then, ain li ela benido bal tikrav bal tigale minayin l'kol arayot she'en b'bal tikravu u'bal tigalu. How do you know that the double prohibition applies by all the arayot? Tamud lomar lo tikravu ligalot, plural. Let's say angels, and now worship. And then he notes, however, in order to get karet, to actually get spiritual excision,
That's only Bia.
That's only sex itself.
What do you mean?
Even though it's biblically prohibited, right? You don't actually get the punishment of kares unless
if you
have intercourse, right? Okay. The Rambam says this as well. I hope you saw this in Perikof Aleph, obviously, Bia, right?
Really like the first three or four.
Right? So I'm not going to go through all of it, right? You saw it, but what does the Rambam say? Again, kol haba, now he gives, but there he's a little bit more explicit, and he says, kol haba al ha'erva min ha'arayot derech ivarim. What is ba'al erva derech ivarim?
On,
what is bia derech ivarim?
Ways of
derech ivarim. You read it, right? This was the first sentence.
Sexual ways?
Promiscuous. The ways of...
What's Eivarim? It's an Eiver.
Ever. Ever. No.
With an Aleph.
Oh.
Eiver is a part of the body.
Yeah.
Right? And therefore he says, anyone who...
Oh, Eiver Menachai.
Yeah, so good. What does it mean? Baal Erba Derech Eivarim. What does that mean?
Things of different... it's different. It's like different types, isn't it? Different ways of being intimate.
Yeah, to the exclusion of what?
Well, they talk.
Why is it called Eivarim? Your nice little Rambam here gives you a hint. Yes, sorry.
Okay, it's fine.
Right, Eivarim, to the exclusion of what? Right, your little Rambam here. Meaning, normal sex is derech ha-Eiver, or the hey yidia, the organ, meaning the sexual organ.
But
derech Eivarim means
anymore. It's
meaning
more.
Something else.
That's why
meaning it means what could it mean? Derech Eivarim could mean.
Here's an example of hands and feet later.
It could mean derech Eivarim could mean oral sex.
Right.
It could mean right. It could mean with your hand. It could mean with your foot. It could mean whatever. Anytime to right.
So it
I understand it's making you uncomfortable, but this is what the Rambam is saying. Right?
Johnny asked me this before. Did it mean actual relations, or did it mean in a way could it be intimate? Like,
yeah, no, that's the point. Is it doesn't mean relations. That's exactly the point.
For giving hands.
What?
For giving hands to somebody.
No! Bia derech eivarim. That means that one person's sexual organ is involved, but not two of them.
Okay.
That's not giving. That's not.
Okay, no.
That's not holding hands. That's
not holding hands.
Sexual organ, which if it is, I'm not touching it.
That's my point. No. Okay. I understand this is uncomfortable, right? I get it. But what he means is oral sex. What he means is someone using their hands, right? And their hand
is the mouth.
And that's what I just said.
Oh, okay.
I just said.
I didn't hear it.
Right?
I'm saying.
I'm being explicit because apparently not being explicit, you don't understand what I'm talking about. Right?
You have to bring the most common example.
Right now, I need to. Okay. I understand what I'm about to say is uncomfortable, but let me just clarify for halachic integrity here. What does it not include? Right? Obviously, intercourse. Yeah, that obviously. But what is not included? Right? Meaning. What does count as sex? What halachically counts as straight up intercourse?
According to this?
In halacha, in general. I need to clarify this.
Bia.
What is bia?
Having.
So it means either intercourse, meaning either vaginal intercourse or.
Oh, you were talking about anal?
Yes.
Okay, I was afraid to say it.
Sorry. But, okay, I understand it's uncomfortable. Yeah. But both of those, from a halakhic perspective, are considered, right, are considered bia. Not karuv l'bia, those are considered sexual intercourse. Both of those.
Oh, bia doesn't require procreation then?
No, that's why I need to clarify this. Right? That in halakha, whenever you, in halakha, this is a Gemara in Sanhedrin and several other places as well, because the pasuk says it, blashon rabim, right, mishkevei isha, right, that one can violate the prohibitions of sexuality. Mishkevei, what does mishkevei mean? It's plural. Lying with a woman, plural. Right, lyings. The Gemara darshans that it's called sex if there's penetration, either through normal vaginal sex, what we call biyash kidarka, right, or anal sex, which is shlo kidarka, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not just way, you mean?
What?
Not just way?
What?
Lokidarka, yes, it means...
Lokidarka is not the normal way. Right. But both of those are considered intercourse, not lead up to intercourse.
So that's it, yeah.
Derech Ivarim means anything short of those two. Right? But it involves the sexual organs. It just doesn't involve penetration. Right? Meaning, there's no penetration. That's the point. Okay, I understand. I get it's uncomfortable, but if you want halachic integrity here, I need to at least explain this. Right? And apparently using euphemisms is not helping here. Right? So... the Rambam says that is obviously asur mida araisa, even if it's not called sex halachically. Oh, shechibek v'nishek derech tahava, or what?
Or
you hugged and kissed it, but then the key clarifies derech tahava in a way of pleasure. The nehene bikiruv basar, and what's the key? Nehene mikiruv basar. Nehene mikiruv basar. The Rambam is trying to explain to you grammatically how he got to his conclusion. What is nehene mikiruv basar?
Pleasure.
He got pleasure from what? Yes, from closeness of skin. I mean, he's saying, what is the Tanakhama's argument on Rebbe Pidas? Mm-hmm. Rebbe Pidas thinks the only type of closeness, physical closeness that counts
when you're actually
is intercourse.
Counts me
d'oraisa. Counts me d'oraisa. But according to the Tanakhama, any physical touching that is done in a sexual manner, such that you derive sexual pleasure from physical touching, even if it's not sex, is aser mida araisa. And he says, hareze loke mina Torah. Right? This is, carries with it, lashes. Shneemar levilti aser michukoda taivot. Right? To not be involved in these disgusting things. Whenever lo tikravu legalot arvak, lo mar, lo tikravu, lidvarim, hamivin, lidegi lui arvak.
Things that would lead to you coming to doing.
Right? And he says, not only that, but ose davar michukot elu harei hu chashud al harayot.
If you do this thing,
if you do this, we have to suspect that you're involved in more than that.
Right.
Right? Meaning, right? If you see somebody who has no shame in the middle of the street, right, is, you know, making out with their girlfriend, right? Yesh lachush, that behind closed doors they're doing more than that.
Right.
Right? That's what he says. Right? That's.
Min avachashash.
Yes. He said, I don't know. It might not be. It might be that they're abstinent, that they're not involved in sexuality. They just think it's totally fine in public to be making out, right, in a very, very lewd way. Yes, it might be that behind closed doors they do nothing more than that. But he says,
there's
yesh ladun. I have to wonder about this. Now, then he says, v'asur la'adam likrotz bi'adav u'raglav l'rmoz be'inav l'achat min arayot. And it's also to gesticulate with your hands or your feet, right? To wink with your eyes, right? All types of sexual gestures, right? Flirting.
Nudge, nudge.
Right? Now, and then he, now according to this, and then he says, v'chein l'schokim al ha'kel rosh, or to play around flirtatiously, be levitous, v'afil arich p'sam shaler, to smell perfume on her, v'chein l'schokim al ha'bit b'yafyar, stare at her beauty, asur. Umakin miskaven ledavers and makos mardos. And anyone who gets this is gets malkos rabbinically.
I'm kind of confused because we were going to like, are we still talking about a nida here or a stam woman in general?
Talking about any of the arayot.
Oh, okay.
Which could be a nida.
Like we went from
it could be a nida. It could be your sister. It could be your mother. It could be your daughter. It could be right. It could be an Ish is Ish. Right? A married woman who's not married to you comes
well,
in. Right.
This concludes.
What?
Well, it's going to say later.
Now, by the way, so now we'll come back to this Rambam, but if you had to guess, according to the Rambam, what would you say? Are the second group of prohibitions, are they biblical or rabbinic? What would you guess?
Rabbinic.
So the simplest shot is rabbinic. Why?
Know what the we've said what the
no, but he said it's steroids because he said even things that would come, that the Rambam.
Why would you tell me? Why do most mafarshim and Rambam assume that this is derabbanan? That we'll see that some posts can disagree. Why do they think it's deraisa Shimon?
Why do they think that what the Rambam?
It's derabbanan. The second halacha is derabbanan. What drives them to believe that the Rambam thinks it's derabbanan?
Because it could lead you to it.
Well, I mean, the first part he mentioned the pasuk, and the second one he didn't.
First of all, he mentioned the pasuk. Second one he doesn't.
Right.
The first one he says you get biblical malchus, and the second one he says you get
rabbinic
malchus. And then give me one more reason, because how does the Rambam read the pasuk?
Lo tigrevu, the galus.
Yeah, and what was the key for him? Remember, in Allah, what was the key?
It's for
kiruv basar.
Right. Oh, the other one. Kiruv,
right? Sorry. That what makes it fit into the pasuk is that their flesh touched. That they touched each other.
That would be daraisa.
That would be daraisa. But the second halacha, winking and smelling.
That would be daraisa
because there's no kiruv basar.
So smelling her perfume and staring at her.
That's only daraisa.
Kissing, hugging, oral sex. Which all the things Rambam mentioned in the first halacha.
Rambam, that the only actual touching is the only thing daraisa, but anything like if you're just flirtatiously talking or something like that
would be
usher.
I mean, they're up on an.
Right.
Correct. Now, I assume that I do not have to explain now, right, that people who think that, right, people who treat Shomer Nagia, right, like a chumrah, right? Right, it's ridiculous because according to the Rambam, everybody eats halacha. According to the Rambam, right, making out with your girlfriend who is a nida because she hasn't gone to the mikvah is.
Daraisa.
Period. End of story.
Right.
Pun not intended.
Wait, but he
there,
only said.
Right.
He only said. Does the Rambam say only in ways of?
Neither jokes.
Took me a second.
I didn't hear that.
What I said. If making out with your girlfriend who is a nida is also me daraisa, period, end of story. I did not mean whatever. Not intended.
I feel like you enjoyed this recording.
Yeah, anyways. I don't know how you didn't understand that one.
I didn't
but okay,
it.
Fine. Yeah.
Oh, wait, so does the Rambam.
We do make nida jokes at my house a lot, unfortunately. That's the price of being married to a Yotzet. These things come up a lot.
Does the Rambam hold that the only thing. Daraisa would be derech taiva, or
correct. Derech taiva.
So if you just like,
hook up with a girl, not with derech taiva. Yeah, sure, that's fine.
No,
but
what's posture is not going to be awesome derech.
Like holding hands or something.
Hey, yeah, what doing? But a business handshake,
right? Or like a friendly hug. That's
another.
Yeah, what doing?
Are you making out?
There's ways to go.
Look, as Ray Willig once said. Right? And he once explained why he, like many poskim, think that handshakes are not usur, or not usur. Okay? I mean, this is the, we'll get to why I think this, but like, la halacha, you know, if I, you know, like I went to my mother's retirement party, right, at work, some of her coworkers, you know, extended their hands, shook their hands, right? I think it's mutter.
Right?
That's the German, that was the tradition of the German community, that's what Ron Salvechik thought. Right, because a short, quick, business-like handshake is not derech taiva.
Right.
Right? So he said, Ray Willig said he once mentioned this when he was teaching in a shir in a camp.
Right.
And he said, the next Shabbos, the guys and the girls started shaking each other's hands, and he said, I've never seen such handshakes in my life. Right? A handshake can also be derech taiva.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
right? If
it's
people,
if you make it that way,
yeah. Correct,
well,
so right?
This makes
it shouldn't
kind of
be.
It's like a high five.
It's a bit weird if you make a handshake derech taiva.
If you want to,
but trust me, if you want to, people can make derech taiva out of anything.
It's the same way with a wink. Like you can wink at someone because you made a joke. Or like, cause like, so someone's speaking, right? No, right. No. Like, if someone's speaking publicly, right? Sometimes, like, you'll like look at your friend and you'll like give that same look
yes.
that like you're thinking of the same joke. Or there's the sexual wink.
Right.
It's different.
Wait. So
you could, you're right. You can make everything.
You said how this is like it's a German culture thing. Oh, that's why it would be okay to shake hands.
This is the first time we're
going
to check him.
I'm just saying that this is. I'm just saying it was the minhag of the German community.
Right. So it's a minhag. It's a custom with Spanish and French that you kiss the person.
I know. I've mentioned this about 10 times before. Mm-hmm. That this is going to be the source for you to understand why Svarti Poskim, right, are makil even on kissing.
Yeah.
Why? Because the issue isn't kissing per se, it's kissing derech taiva. And yes, you are correct. The minhag of many Sephardi communities, including, I'm assuming, your own, right?
Both sides, Moroccan, correct. French, and Spanish.
Moroccans, definitely, right, is that it's not kissing per se. It's kissing derech taiva.
Kissing is normally a taiva way of...
No. No, it's not. Not in certain cultures. In certain cultures, a kiss on the lips, yes, right, sure, with your romantic lover in Ochanami is derech taiva. Right. A kiss on the cheek from your aunt is the way they say hello.
Right.
Right? Or the way in many cultures they kiss the hands of the rabbis.
Right.
Right? Again, in an American waspy culture, because that's where Ashkenazim are, right? We just live among wasps. In Ochanami, it's a bit weird. We don't do that.
Right.
Right? Svardim are more Hamish that way, right? They do, and there's a reason the Svardi Poskim say in a Chanami, it's mutter.
Those are Nashkenazi.
The person who gives the shita,
many Svardi Poskim.
I have to use one of the sources as a
good. We'll get to it. We haven't gone there yet. I'm setting up the groundwork. Okay, good. Now,
what?
Yes.
No, go.
What?
No, but it's also like in French, as you said, in French culture also, even by Ashkenazi, known religions, they also...
Correct, it's the kiss on the cheek.
They do it.
Yeah.
At the shul.
Yeah. And a lot of people. Now, some people will be horrified, but if you look at the sugya, yesh b'lizem mashu. We haven't gone to halacha yet.
You could prefer to give like handshake, if you could, like give that person...
Okay,
like,
but that's not the reality in certain cultures. The minhag has been for a very long time that it's just the way they greet each other. You'll tell me it's usher. Why is it usher? Right? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Right? Again, I remember when this sugya came up once many years ago when I was in Gush, one of the guys when I was in the Kollel, but one of the very good kids, but he's Syrian, he came over to me and he's like, "Oh my god!" He's like, "Is my family violating Yisurim all the time?" I'm like,
"Are you serious?"
And I'm like, "No." I'm like, "They're not." I was like, "The poskim, really the Syrian poskim, we're okay with this. I'm not coming to say it's us, sir. I want to explain to you why they think it's mutter, right? And they're, yeah, you don't want to do it, don't do it, right? But I said you don't have to, right? You don't have to have an inferiority complex, right? Svarti Poskim, right? Have a lot to rely on. This is not some kula, right? This is a very good understanding of the sugya, right? And again, that doesn't give you a heter to go make out with your girlfriend, right? That's not what we're talking about, right? That's not what we're talking about, right? That's not the type of kiss we're talking about.
I don't think you have to worry about that in this
what?
Year. I don't think you have to worry about that in this year.
Okay.
You know you're in this year.
Good.
Riff on all of you.
You're awesome.
Well, yeah, but I really don't think that I have the same kishash as this.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, good. Good. Okay, let's continue with Avos Dvarim Nasan. Now, the Avos Dvarim Nasan seems to take this position as well. Right? Avos Dvarim Nasan is a collection of statements by Chazal collected in the Gaoning period. We don't know exactly when, what. It's some sort of Perush/expansion on Pirkei Avos. Okay, that's what it is, okay? Fine, let's look at the second passage that I gave you from Avos Dvarim Nasan.
That's
the longer one, number 8.
That's a story. Oh, no, okay.
So he says... Right? Now, if you remember, it is commenting on the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which I hope you all know Baal Peh, but I'm assuming that not everybody does, but you should all. Right? What's the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos?
Well,
lost me.
False hope, I guess. That's
seriously, come on, people.
I don't know. Mishnah.
The first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Moshe ki bal Torah mi Sinai u'misara li Yeshua v'Yeshua l'zkein l'zkein l'neviim v'misara l'anshe knesset gdola heim amru shloshah dvarim.
They said each of them said it 3 times to each other from Moshe.
Hey, Mamush, they said 3 things. What were they?
Oh, they said 3 things.
Hey, Mamush, Lashadvarim. What did they say?
Don, do you know them for laughing so hard?
I'm
how I don't know it.
They Masunim Badin. Right, be deliberate in judgment. Vamidu Talmidim Harbe, and have many students. Vasu Siag La Torah. And make a gay offense around the Torah. Okay.
We're the worst.
Okay. So Avos Dvarim Nasan says, Eze Hasyog. Now, if I asked you a question, where do Chazal get, not the authority, the authority, let's say, is from Lotasser, or from wherever it is, okay? Where did Chazal gain insight into what it might mean to make a siag for the Torah? Right? Chazal do this all the time. Give me 5 examples of rabbinic protections of Daraisa laws. Give me five.
Muksa,
good.
Daraisa laws are protected by the rabbis.
Just give me five examples. Muksa is a good one. Good, give me another one.
I could say Shomer.
No, according to Rambam, Daraisa, right? Don't use anything that we're currently learning. Yeah.
Let's agree with my follower.
Don't. That doesn't count as an example. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good, Moksa. That's a good one. Good. What else? We have one. I'm very impressed. Good.
Sorry, I spaced. What are we doing?
List five derabanan syagim. Five derabanan that protect Daraisas.
Kashrut.
Kashrut is derabanan.
Poultry,
you
weren't
allowed to. You could have a made in meat.
Not eating at the same table as your friend.
Good.
Was that a right one?
Fine, not kashrut in general, yes. All the derabanans on basar bakalav, yes. Not eating meat and milk, even if they weren't cooked together, because biblically it's only they're cooked together. Not eating meat and milk at the same table.
Right.
Waiting between meat and milk.
Chicken.
Right? Chicken, all that stuff. Good. Good, what else?
We hit five?
No, told us daraisa.
No, I mean.
Told us daraisa.
Right, right. So the.
But there are abundant malachas like the prohibitions we have on reheating food. Right, many of them are only derabanan.
Right.
Okay. Good. So, where did Chazal get their inspiration? Right. Where did they, if they were trying to figure out, okay, we are entrusted by God to protect His Torah.
Mm-hmm.
So, where do they get their inspiration from? How do we do this? How do we do such a thing? Right. What do we do practically? Right. So, how do they figure it out? What had they figured out?
Well, how they made the rule active?
Yeah. Like, how they? What gave them the inspiration?
What was it?
Was the fear of doing this? Or?
God. How did they wanted to set up rules to protect the Torah.
Right.
So they went about it and they said, I wonder, how do we do this? I need a good idea. How do we do this? Where do they get the idea?
From the Torah.
Good! So Abbas Dari Benassin said they got their inspiration from the fact that, and this is where we're going to get to Rabbi Yosef Engel in a moment. The Rabbi Yosef Engel introduces something that seems to be implicit in the Rambam and is almost explicit in Avos Dari Nasan, is that normally we think of the Torah as what? That the mitzvot of the Torah are intrinsically valuable,
right?
And derabbanans protect the Torah.
Right.
And therefore, at first glance, you would say it would be very strange for there to be what Rabbi Engel calls a siag d'araisa, namely a Torah law which is instituted to protect another Torah law. That would be weird. Why would that be weird? Because we tend to assume that mitzvahs d'araisa are intrinsically valuable,
right?
And they're not just means to another end. Derabbanans are a means to protect the end, namely the d'araisa, right? But mitzvahs d'Torah, we don't normally think of them as just means to another end. They are ends,
right?
They're already, I mean, yeah.
That's the point. But, according to Rabbi Yosef Engel, what we learn from the Rambam is that it's not true.
Right.
Sometimes there are d'araisas that are so important that the Torah itself taught us that what?
It's not allowed to protect.
That you have, that the Torah itself set up safeguards.
Right.
Meaning that there are, in fact, are mitzvot, that even though, yes, they are biblical mitzvot themselves,
mm-hmm,
their nature is protective of something which is even worse.
What's an example?
Good. Avos Dari Benassan. Eze hasyag sha'asza Torah lidvareha. Give me example of a Torah law which is itself a protection of other Torah laws.
I can only think of
look inside.
What, he lists them here?
Yes! Harehu omer ve'alisha binidat tumata lo tikrav. Yochal ima ve'yishte ima. You could eat with her and drink with the Nida, flirt with her. Talmud Lomar, Lo, Tikrav, Ligalo, Vigomer.
Do not come
close to her. You might think you could bathe together, and you could, right, she could wash his face, and she could put things in his eyes, and they could send each other romantic drinks. What?
putting things in his eyes?
It's like a, it was a medicinal thing.
Oh.
Whatever. Talmud lomar lo tikrav. Yachol tishon imo bivgodeo alamita. You might think you could sleep together in the bed as long as you're wearing clothing. Talmud lomar vadavam and yizazak. I measure me nazi, he tave and yidasa. Mekan amru, call him an avlat, man bidin yidasa. Ein ruachachamim no chaimena. Right, but you shouldn't make yourself disgusting. Right, that's a bad idea. Right, a wife shouldn't make herself disgusting. Now. So therefore, skip for a moment to Rabbi Yosef Engel.
Are we coming back to this?
What? And then what does it do? It introduces what? Ma'is of Talmudecha. Which story?
The story of the guy who...
The story we already read.
We already read that, right.
Yes. The only thing that's interesting about it is that it was, right, Eliyahu that comes into that story, okay, that comes to give the final psak, that it's good that God killed him, right, as opposed to a random Talmud Chacham saying to the woman, oh, I'm glad your husband was killed. It was Eliyahu saying, it was glad, right, that, I don't know if that makes it better or worse, right, Eliyahu and saying, yes, your husband was a shegetz, right, I don't know if that makes it better, right, I don't know if that makes it better or worse, I just don't know, fine, but the Lekach Torah, of Engel has a whole simon in Simon Ches, where he says, what is the point? The point is that, right, look, Al Karchach, number 10. The Kavonis Avas Rabbi Nasan, Hirak, the Siag, the Shemayivov, Imkan Mefurish, the Shayach, Siag, the Araisa. Right, what's clear is that there's such a thing as a protective law, which is biblical.
To protect
it. Al Karchach, the Siag, the Araisa, Niskavin.
What do you mean?
Right?
Is it the Araisa itself?
The Araisa itself is protective of yet another Araisa.
Okay.
Right, and therefore he says.
How?
Because the Torah doesn't want you to have sex with a nida.
Mm-hmm.
And the Torah didn't want to leave it up to chance. Okay. So instead of saying, Chazal, protect this law, okay, the Torah itself set up a protective law that if you violate the protection,
mm-hmm,
it's biblical. Even though the point of the biblical law is to protect an even worse biblical prohibition.
In other words, it's like an extra layer.
Yes, but biblically.
Okay.
Yes, okay. And therefore I asked you a question. I said, where do Chazal take their inspiration for the way in which they set up protective layers? And the answer is, according to... Because the Torah itself did it sometimes. Not usually, right? Usually, Torah laws are ends.
Right.
But sometimes it's means. Now, there is something important, though, that if that's what the Avos Derav Nasan is doing, where does the Avos Derav Nasan diverge from the Rambam, possibly? Right? Because Big Adol, he says the same as the Rambam.
Right.
But not quite. What does he say that the Rambam doesn't say?
It seems though it would be specifically in this Siyag D'Oraisa.
More than that, right? Remember, what did you say about the Rambam? Right? What did you just say? According to the Rambam, what counts as the D'Oraisa, even if you hold it to Siyag?
Skin touching.
Yeah. What is this? What does the Avos Derav Nasan include in its seemingly biblical prohibition?
Oh, it goes even further.
Everything.
Even further.
Yochol ima, yishtei ima.
Right.
According to Avos Derav Nasan, the simple understanding is not only is it biblically prohibited to hug and kiss romantically,
mm-hmm,
eating together, flirting,
together,
right?
It's just weird.
What?
Eating together is a...
I'm sorry. Are you... You must be very tamim. Have you never watched TV in your life? Have you never seen any scene in any movie or any TV show where a jacuzzi was sexualized because a man and woman went into there together? Never, it's never happened.
Well, okay, bathing made me think of a bathtub.
Okay, and there's never been a movie scene where people who are romantically sexually involved took a shower together, bathed together. I hope you never watched such movies. I'm just saying, maybe by accident you came across such a thing.
No, I never got to watch rated R. Even then, it's not. I know which ones not to watch.
Good. I'm glad you're not watching these movies. The point is that this is something that happens. Right? It's not disgusting. It's part of culture.
It does
happen,
yeah.
It happens. And
well, I mean,
it's not...
it is disgusting, but...
Is it? With a spouse?
Oh, fine. Well, usually fine, these movies don't depict that.
No, in Ohanami, I'm not saying...
I was just saying, like, those
I'm not saying...
That it's a spouse.
No, I'm saying... We're talking about your wife!
Oh, yeah, here.
And so Anita.
Okay, if she's being Nita.
So it's Nita, it's us, sir. But I'm saying the point is that it's not a disgusting thing intrinsically.
It is not. We took it in context that it's just with another person to do a romantic. It's
your wife.
Good.
It's your wife.
He's implying his wife. Man.
Yes.
It says your wife. Why is that disgusting?
It's not disgusting.
I understand. I'm very happy that you are very pure and that you're very common. I really am.
Oh, yeah. Yosef,
Yosef, but let me understand. Let me just explain to you that there will come a time when you will be married, and then suddenly, right, sexuality will not be something which is disgusting. It'll be something that is obligatory and beautiful from a halachic perspective, right? That, right, sexuality is very much a part of halacha. It is something that halacha is okay with, endorses, right, thinks is central to married life. Okay?
Yeah.
Central. No. Momish central. Definitional. Right? And therefore, yeah, you know, it might happen that a husband and wife would like to take a shower together, and you know what? As long as if she's a nida, it's also nida raisa, right? If she's not, right? I mean, what's the implication of the Gemara? The implication of the Gemara is if she's a nida, avoid it, right? If she's not a nida, clearly the Avos Reb Nosson is saying, you know, taka, that might be something that a married couple might do, right? Right? Lo aleinu, right? Lo aleinu. No, not lo aleinu, right? It's totally fine, right? It's gans fine, okay? Totally fine, right? Okay, you know, technicalities, okay, what? Fine. I don't want to get into everything. But big adol, right? Romance, sexuality in the context of marriage is a wonderful, beautiful thing. We don't have to run away from it, okay?
It's like watermelon.
What?
He's making a joke of a video with Mara from 8 years ago.
Okay, but what's clear in the Avos Reb Nosson is that the simple pshat in the Avos Reb Nosson is what? That unlike the Rambam, who thinks that for it to be the araisa, the kirva must include kirvat basar, the Avos Reb Nosson seems to entertain the possibility that even on a biblical level,
further than that,
flirtation, eating together romantically,
looking,
winking, I don't know, right?
Smelling
all that,
perfume,
smelling perfume, good. All that might be asar mid the araisa, right? Which is quite radical, right? No one should ever wear that heavy perfume. That's a different story.
Oh, I horrible. Hate that.
Thank God. Like, God. It started to happen. I've seen in shul signs where they say you should not wear perfume to shul because people are allergic and people get sick.
Yeah.
And it's just like it drives me nuts.
Sometimes when I'm
it drives
running.
Me nuts. You
sometimes
go to shul, running, like, someone walks by you and, like, there's this, like, wind of perfume,
when
like,
I'm
knocks
running,
you unconscious.
Yeah,
like, mummies.
Such an issue. Whenever I go
God.
Running, I can smell it for, like, 30 feet down the street. I'm like,
look,
why?
I'm the issue. Me personally,
so bad.
I'm telling you, me personally, I do not understand why people find this attractive. Like, why do people think that a scent that will overpower you and knock you unconscious?
You're talking about, like, an overly powerful one.
Rabbi, wasn't there a midrash that in the Megillah Esther was really, like, green, but she wore, like, had, like, a great
I do not want to get into random midrash right now. Yes, there is such a midrash. Okay, good. Wonderful. Okay.
Are you serious?
Good. Now, if you look at the Chinuch, look at the Sefer Chinuch in 9, the Chinuch also may be slight. The Chinuch Bigadol follows the Rambam. But he might, like the Avos Reb Nosson, be slightly more expansive. I'm not sure. But if you look, he says, he defines the Yisra as follows. Shelo lihis adein ba'achaz mikol arayas. What is lihis adein? Now, this is a bit more subtle than the Rambam. What is lihit adein? It's to get enjoyment from something like that, from anyone who is one of the arayot. V'hein krovot, which are relatives, v'eshedish, or someone else's wife, v'nida, v'afilu blobia, even without sex, kagon, chibuk v'nishuk, v'chol adome le'ela pu'ulot haraot, shema'amikin bohen ba'alei hazima olchim acharei ahevel v'hevalu. And all these evil things that promiscuous people go after. Shenamar ish ish al kol she'er b'sarol z'gur l'garva. Upeirusho. What does it mean? Ki u'ilu amar lo sasu shum kirva. Don't do any closeness thing. She'ia goremet v'hamevia ha'adam l'galot erva. Which brings someone to erva. Right? So in his formulation, it sounds sort of more like the Avos Reb Nosson, right?
Yeah, but it's only
that,
if you get pleasure out of
correct.
It.
Correct. Correct. But a romantic dinner,
what do you think it's for?
Hey, you know, there is
the same, but like the first, who was that?
Right? I can't prove this. But the simplest read of the Chinuch is that while he goes in the direction of the Rambam, he seems more expansive, like Avos Rabbi Nassan, right? That there might be things that don't include
skin
touching that would still be usher.
Right, but it's like, what do you mean?
Midoraisa.
Like what?
Romantic meal.
The Avos right? Rabbi Nassan says even just like Stam smelling the girl is their according to the Sefer
Again, I mean, I don't know. Do people not like watch movies that are right? Like, has this never been part of a scene in a movie?
No, it's not what I'm saying.
That's why they're having trouble understanding.
No, I understand.
Like people,
but I'm
have
saying
you guys like, talked to a girl before?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's a difference between the
look,
two.
Look, again, I don't understand it personally because I have very sensitive sense of smell. I can't handle it, right? But clearly, the reason that people wear overpowering perfumes and the reason that all the names of their perfumes all are like intoxicating, erotica, I don't know, like weird, overly explicit things,
yeah,
right?
Honestly,
desire, seduction.
Exactly.
No, but like half of the names of them are like seduction.
Exactly. But
right.
What I was trying to
things like that. Right.
What?
What?
I was trying to elude.
Right. Right. Allure. Right. I don't know. Right? I don't know. Look at them. I don't know. I'm making up names. I'm making up names, but I promise you there are perfumes with names like this. I promise if you Google, there must be a perfume named Allure.
Chanel or something.
Black Temptation.
Black Temptation. There you go, apparently. Right? Clearly, what are they assuming?
That
people are sexually attracted to smell.
Right, but that's the same. So what's the difference between the Sefer HaChinuch and the
others? So he's just not as explicit. I'm saying,
that's what I'm saying.
No, that's what I'm saying. Is that my inclination, right? My inclination is that the Sefer HaChinuch is going more in the direction of us, the division of us. I don't know. I don't know if he goes as far.
You know.
Right. Meaning, but not. He doesn't sound as limited as the Rambam, as we understood the Rambam. We'll see that how we understand the Rambam is subject to machlokas. The Magen Mishnah will understand the Rambam the way we did, namely, the only thing that's biblically prohibited is
Bia.
Is Bia. You know what?
Wait, but I'm kind of...
One second. No, not Pia. Is physical touching.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Oh, right? According to the Rambam, right.
Right, according to the Rambam. But we'll see. The Navi one agrees.
Fun time flies.
Wait, but okay, the Sefer...
Yeah. We're going to have to end with this, and then next time we'll have to pick up the Rambam, yeah?
Yeah, so the Sefer kind of like... It kind of sounds like... there's a difference between... It kind of sounds like even the Sefer HaChinuch is kind of even saying, like, you can't smell it even if you're just doing it for the smell, not for...
That's not why someone's smelling somebody's perfume. It's not.
Really?
Yes. Really. Really, really.
That is an interesting set. Thank you, man. Have a good day.
Yes, exactly.
You don't do that.
Wait, did you put it on your neck? Wait, I just need it. A little bit closer.
Oh,
wow. No, it's not what you're doing.
Store and smell perfumes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you do, but you don't go up to a woman on the street and be like, oh, what is that?
That's what I'm saying.
If you love the smell of perfume, go buy yourself a bottle and smell it at home, which is weird enough, right? Don't go up to a woman in the street and say, you know, ma'am, that is...
Can I catch a whiff of this?
That's creepy. Creepy. Very creepy.
What are you saying?
Not what I'm saying, but okay, whatever. Never
okay, mind. Good. Next time we'll do the Ramban.
Like to figure out what they're wearing. To buy
yeah.
From girlfriend.
Okay. Now the Ramban. Look, guys, listen. The Ramban is going to argue
you're
on this, but what exactly the Ramban is saying, I'm not 100% sure. People, I'm not sure are careful enough with reading the Ramban, so I want to read the Ramban very carefully. So please, next time do the Ramban. And make sure to do the Ritva and try to figure out why in God's name I put the Ritva next to this Rambam, because it has seemingly nothing to do with it, but I think it does.
What I was trying to...
Right? If you can get through 14.
What time is it?
Right after 14
he's
is off on my okay?
Like, if let's say a girl walks by
and
with
you
a
like the
scent,
smell of the perfume and you want to buy it
you
for your girlfriend.
You can turn the recording off.